Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is located in Hudsonville, Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Fairhaven. How are we doing? Good. My name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited this morning. We get to start a new sermon series called From This to That. Say it with me. From This to That. Awesome. We stories after stories in the Bible is about life transformation. The very beginning story in the Bible is where we move from chaos to order. And countless of stories, time and time again, point to the power of God. And the transformation from helplessness to fresh starts, from the call of God, from pointless living into one with purpose for the ultimate goal, the ultimate desire, the ultimate move of God is to be from death to life, from this to that. So I just want to pray for us as we start this morning and we start the next few weeks together at this new sermon series. So pray with me. God, we come before you this morning. And I do pray for the next few weeks as we sit underneath your teaching and we talk about from this to that. God, I pray as we come before you, an almighty God who seeks to give purpose when there isn't, to give fresh starts, to bring order where there is chaos. God, I pray this day and this week that we'd come before you, O God, and surrender all that we are. God, may you transform who we are from the inside out. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, Pastor Greg last week started with a game, and I was like, I didn't know we could do that. So this morning, we're going to start with a game of this or that edition of Would You Rather. So the question is, would you rather have this happen at your house? And I'm guessing no, and namely, don't get engaged and then skip out on church the next day. And then, do you know what happens? They all collect together, and your best friend brings a bunch of church folk to your house to TP your house. Don't do that. The worst case is they know where my key was and it's all my toilet paper from my house. Like, that's the low. So either from this or that. The reality is you want that. Or maybe you move from this right here and you're like, Josh, what is that? That's a picture I took on Saturday of my old car. All my old cars go to the Hinken Hospice, aka my dad's house. And right there is my dad completely taking out the engine and the tranny to get it fixed. And I'm like, I don't know how, from this looks like chaos, how you're going to move it to that. Like, that's right straight from a dealer, right? That's probably what you want to drive around, not the other. Or maybe this. There's this guy named SB Mowing. Spencer is his name. If you ever watch him on YouTube, it is something super satisfying to move from this to that, right? Like, that feels good. That feels right. Or maybe if you resonate with this picture right here, it's just chaos, super messy. And you're like, what am I supposed to do with that? And then you move to that. And you're like, I want that. But you know who made that? You probably did that, not your kids. Because your kids made the mess. The reality is there is a move from something that's messy and chaotic to something that's ordered and that has cleanliness. Ultimately, the reality in our lives, and I believe that you would see this to be true, is that life is messy. Life is messy, and the good news is that God steps into the mess to bring order. The reality from all those from this to that stories, and maybe something that you know in your life from this to that, is there's one thing in common. The one thing in common is that someone steps into the mess. Someone steps into the mess. A clean room doesn't just clean itself. Amen? You kind of wish it did, right? Or you wish you could have your kids do it, but man, they get distracted and they make a bigger mess. A broken car doesn't just fix itself. Someone steps into that to fix that. You know, an overgrown yard doesn't just mow itself unless the asterisk is if you have one of those robotic mowers, then someone doesn't step in, but the mower does its job. But in all reality, someone steps into the mess, the chaos, and brings order. And Genesis 1, right at the very beginning, reveals that about God himself, who steps into chaos and brings order. So if you have your Bibles, I just want to invite you. Some words will be on the screen, but we're in Genesis 1. And the best part of how you get there, flip the cover, go like 3 pages, maybe 4, depending on your Bible. And you're right there in Genesis. If you go to Exodus, you're too far. But that's where Genesis is, at the beginning of the Bible. And that's where we begin. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Formless and empty. There's this amazing Hebrew phrase, tohu vabohu. Say it with me, tohu vabohu. I want to hear you a little louder. Tohu vabohu. Yeah, exactly. Which means, tohu means formless. Bohu means empty, or this void. And ultimately, Hebrew imagination, when you go a little bit further in verse 2, where it says, the darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. When you see this darkness, the surface of the deep, the waters, in the Hebrew imagination, really the reality is that this water is chaotic. There's chaos that's happening at the very beginning of the story. And so you have the Spirit of God that's hovering over this chaos. And so what God does is he takes what is chaos and he steps in. He doesn't avoid the chaos, but he actually steps into it and brings order into it. And so at the very beginning of the story, we see that God is moving in. And entering in. So God, in this story, in the chaos, he forms things, he separates things, and then he fills things. So ultimately, he transforms things. So we should try something here. If you can give me the next screen here. I was told that this thing, you can write on it. I don't know if you knew that. We're getting there, don't worry, Mark. So God forms these things. And so if we see the pattern that we see in Genesis 1 about the forming and filling, what we see is God's work. If you see right off the bat, so he forms, so we're going to write forms over here. And then in creation, then he fills it. This is what God does. And so on day 1, 2, and 3, we see what forms, and then on 5, 6, and 7. So if you have your Bibles open, it says, and God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called light day and the darkness night, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. So on the first day, what do we have? We have he forms. This is just be fast, so you can't judge my handwriting. Darkness and light. That's what he forms on day 1. Day 2 on verse 6. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated water under the vault from the water above. And it was so, and God called the vault sky. And there was evening and morning the second day. And so we have right here God forming, God taking chaos. He makes water and he creates a space of sky. And so we go through the third day on verse 9, and God said, Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. So God called the dry ground land, and gathered water he calls sea. So we have here land and sea. God is entering into the chaos, creating something of order, and forming something, separating thing, and now he gets to fill it. And so what we see on verse 14, God said, let the lights be the vaults of the sky and separate the night, the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days, and the years, and let the lights and the vaults in the sky give them light. And so what does he put in this space? Two great lights. Anybody? We got the sun. And then we got the moon. This is dangerous. And then we have some stars. This is how he fills what he formed. And if you go a little bit further, on the fifth day in verse 20, and God said, let the waters teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the creature. What does God fill in the water and sky? This is a little bit more dangerous here. He fills it with the fish, yeah, I know. And this could be an angry or a happy fish, I don't know. The fish, and this is what my wife told me how to draw a bird. Make a circle and then put a beak there and then some legs and then there. Okay. It's close enough. The bird, this one I was scared about the most. So he fills the water in the sky with the fish and the birds. And what does he do on day six? What he does is he also then puts a dog in there. That's not it. Don't worry. Oh, I thought I could erase this. Hold on. I can't. Oh, no. That's a unicorn. I don't know what that is. Okay, that's a dog. And then people. Human beings. And what he says is that it is increasingly good is what he does to fill what he created. And that is how God steps into this chaos that we have. And we're going to close that out real quick. Really quick. We're moving on. When I think about chaos, one of the places I find and experience personally chaos is on a school bus. Those school bus drivers, I don't know how they do it. But this picture right here is just of these nice school bus drivers just teaching kids how to cross in a red light. And I've had the opportunity to sit behind that steering wheel and pick up students, and man, if anywhere there's chaos, just imagine, right? Fun day. If Sunday fun day is happening and all your kids get hyped up on sugar and they go load the school bus. Did you know that 77 passengers can fit on that bus? I bet you didn't know that. Now, maybe, wait, hold on. Let's not plan on your kids because your kids are angels. Let's think about after school. Let's go driving up to a school and you're behind the wheel that looks like this. And you're the school bus driver. And you open the door, the last day of school, you're excited for summer break, they're excited for summer break, and you look up in that rear view mirror and you see 77, okay, mind you, maybe a little less, 60 students losing their ever-loving minds, and that feels like chaos. You know, you got students chewing gum, sticking underneath the seats, hanging out the windows, and all the rest. Like, it gets loud, you know, can you imagine 50, 60 kids just talking and talking and talking, and then someone comes up to you and say, someone just pulled my hair, and then someone takes a carton of chocolate milk and stomps on it, and it just flows down. This is just real. This is chaos. And so you look in the back, and what are your choices in that moment? Your choice is to see the chaos and walk out the door and say, forget it, I'm done. Right? But I don't think that's going to work out well, because if you say, forget it, I'm done, you might go to jail afterwards for like child endangerment. The other option is what I see God has done in creation. He steps into the chaos, into the mess, and instead of just leaving the bus altogether, he comes and he creates order out of something that feels messy and chaotic. In Genesis, it's all throughout. It is God said and it was so. God saw and it was good. God stepped into what was formless, messy, and chaotic. And in that, he speaks and separates and he creates order, something that's good. Because let's be honest, if you're on a school bus and everyone's sitting down, bottoms to bottoms and backs to back, and they're talking in level two, it's a win all day, all day. But what happens when it's not? And so God moves in creation, unformed, void, chaotic, and he brings order from the mess, and there's this flourishing. Why? Because of God's presence. His spirit hovering over the water, God creating order. And if we're honest with ourselves, that there are seasons in our lives that might feel a little bit like Genesis 1-2. It might feel formless, empty, chaotic, and a little bit uncertain. And I don't know about you, maybe there's seasons that you're in right now, or maybe it's just like every day. Maybe that's your season, or maybe it's just that 1 hour when the kids are fighting with each other. Like, what is that? Like, where's the order in there? This is chaos. Or something at work in a moment, like it just feels like it just got really messy really fast, and you're like, ah, wow, it feels like a mess, like chaos. And it brings in you maybe feeling overwhelmed or feeling a little bit anxious, worried. Maybe your marriage feels that way just a little bit. Maybe just a little disconnected, a friend or a family member. You know, you just know when they enter in the room, be ready, put that seatbelt on. You're like, don't look at the next person next to you. But that's real. Like, you know that there is somebody in your family that brings in the chaos. And you're just like, I just need order. I need order. And so if we would just think about that, Genesis is deeply encouraging. Because a God who brought order out of chaos is the God that's still doing that today. That God's response has always been the same. To come near, his presence comes forward, and it brings order in what is chaotic. I have to believe if God creates those spaces and he fills them, what about you and what spaces exist in your life, in your marriage, in your family, at work, maybe even inside of you? The question is, what space in your life needs the presence of God? Is there one? Can you name a space in your life that needs the presence of God? Because eventually every space will be filled. It's not if, but when. And the question is, what do you fill those spaces in your life with? Blaise Pascal, he is a French philosopher, mathematician, and everything. And he said this as I quote, "What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in a man a true happiness which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to do what? Fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there to help, the help he cannot find in those that are. Though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with the infinite immutable object, in other words, God himself." That Ecclesiastes 3 says it this way. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the very beginning to the end. He has made everything beautiful in his time. There is the space inside each and everyone that only eternity can fill. Only God himself can fill. And so maybe you've heard this said, that there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person. And it can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God, made known through Jesus Christ. And I don't know at what level you've been filling that God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. And so the beach ball this morning, this thing is designed with space inside. This guy right here is meant to what? Inflate. This was the purpose. This is what it's created for. What if it's empty? What do you find that it's not being used for what it's created for? There is a vacuum inside. And some of us find ourselves maybe thinking, man, if I just shove this in there, this would help kind of make this get bigger. I don't know, maybe some sand or maybe some squeezing some paint in there. You're like, but the design of this is the design that only air can make it look like that over here. And I believe that every human heart has this God-shaped vacuum that needs to be filled with only what God can fill, what we are intended to be filled with. And sometimes we are in a space where we're either empty, void, there might be messy chaos in our life. And the good news is that the God who stepped into chaos in Genesis is the same God who steps into this world in Jesus to make all things new. And so what I find amazing is that at the beginning of Genesis, we see the waters, this chaos, and through the order God creates. And then with Jesus entering into this world, we have this from Matthew 3:13, which says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented." See, Jesus walking into the baptismal waters, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened up, and he saw what? Notice that in Genesis? The Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice, God speaks from heaven, said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." God loved us too much to let us stay in our chaos. So he sent Jesus, his Son, to bring order, hope, and life. Jesus is the only one that can fill what is missing inside of us. We try to grab onto so many things. Man, if only I got that new car, that could fill something in me. If only I got that promotion at work, that'd feel. If only my kids would just get along. Like just one night, my kid would just go to bed. That's just real. If only it didn't feel like chaos at night. If only I had more money. If only my health was all better. If only, if only, if only. There seems to be this mess, this chaos, this feeling of emptiness, a void in our life that only Jesus can give us. And so what we see in John 3:16, as you have heard it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have" what? "Eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has" what? "He has come into the world, but the people loved darkness." They loved chaos. They loved instead of light because their deeds were evil. The reality is that God sent Jesus to restore what sin has broken and fill what only He can satisfy. And I think that's the good news this morning. Because the thief has come to steal, create chaos into your worlds, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus, if you remember John 10:10 from our series a few ago, has come that he may have life and have it to the full. The thief has come in addiction. The thief has come through bitterness, through anxiety, maybe even just mindless scrolling, just getting you to the point where it's just trying to break you down so you feel formless and empty, maybe in success or relationships, and then Jesus comes that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Sometimes in our life, chaos doesn't always feel dramatic. It can be messy. But there is something inside of us, this God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. He formed you. And I wonder at what level you and I can surrender before the God and say, I want to move from this chaos, whatever void, and I want to move to that. I want to take one step this morning from this to that. And maybe it's in a difficult conversation that you have or a marriage that you need to have in your marriage this coming week. Maybe it's with a friend. But there is a move of God's presence that brings order, brings life, brings transformation. Even when you and I doubt it. Even when we don't see it. And so, to be real, like my family and I this past week, we've had to step into what feels messy, dark, scary, fearful. Like, we didn't know what to do because of the behavior of our dog, Tucker. And so we're working through this conversation with a family, just wondering, what are we to do here? Where are we supposed to step? What is God calling us to do? And we were afraid and scared and sad and don't know where to go. And yet, at that time, Emily and I looked at each other and were like, hey, let's just bring our family together and invite God's presence into this unknown, uncertain space. And I wouldn't say it fixed everything, but I would say that together our family felt God's presence. We prayed together, each one of us. There was something really special about that. But I knew, knowing what I know today, as I was preparing, that like in this moment, if God does this at creation, separates and forms and fills, this is a hole in my space, in my heart, in my family, a sadness that only God can form and fill and bring peace out of sadness. And so I don't know what it is for you. As we think about death to life, as we think about chaos to order, as we think about walking into the baptismal waters, we're walking through the waters, that there is life change that happens. But I think the first response we need to walk into is a space of surrender to the One. And saying, you know, in every part of who I am, the small part, the little part that I push to the side, every part, God, you can have me. I recognize that only God, you can fill the void, the things I seek after, the addictions I run towards. Only God, you can do that. And that's good news that he didn't just avoid your mess, but that he actually enters into it with his presence and says, I'm here with you. And so maybe, just maybe today, you need to speak the name Jesus. Maybe just today, just like God in the darkness, God spoke and then there was light. When everything was empty and void, God spoke, and he saw that it was good. He created something out of nothing. And maybe today is a day that you can surrender and just say, I need you. So I just want to invite you to pray with me. God, you are the God who brings order out of chaos. God, you did it at the very beginning with creation, God, and we're just asking today that you would do it in our lives too. And so, God, whatever comes to our mind, the feelings that we have, maybe the addictions that we hold on to, the messy areas in our life that we need your touch, God, may your presence be so real. That when you enter in, we see this transformation that happens. When you enter into our story and we allow you to, we surrender ourselves to you, God, that you do something that we never have seen before, that we believe only you can do, that nothing else has done. God, I believe that you are at work in each one of our lives. And maybe we just need to surrender ourselves to you today, saying that you can have all of it, even the dark, scary spaces that are uncertain, that are scary. You can have them. They're yours. God, you created me. You created us. And may who we are be people who surrender before you, the God who had the final word over all that is chaos and uncertainty and mess and has brought order. God, I pray that you would do that here and now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you as you listen through this message. For service times and for more information on all the things happening in the life of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.